It is Thursday and time to take another look at one of the jury recommendations from the inquest into the deaths of Culleton, Cusack, and Warmerdam in Renfrew County, three cases of femicide. They released a number of recommendations for the province of Ontario to follow. We've been looking at a different one every week with Executive Director of Lanark County Iberville House, Aaron Lee. Welcome back.
Nice to be here.
This one, we're still talking about safety. This is the second recommendation under the safety banner. This one to me makes a lot of sense, and I would just, I can't wait to hear your comments. So I'm just going to read this quickly and then let you speak about it. Number 47 says the province must set up IPV registries for repeat IPV offenders, similar to the Sex Offender Information Registry Act. I think that this makes a lot of sense. We know that there's been pushback already from the government about this one, saying there might be some duplication, but it's different.
I think it's different. I think the jury made this specific recommendation because I think that we know that in the inquest we learned about the long history and the repeat offenses that existed. And I think that the effort of this particular recommendation is to be able to be secure and to be knowledgeable that when you commit a serious offense, that there are consequences that are far-reaching and that people can get information. The sex offender registry, I mean, I think with everything we need to look at, what are the risks? What are the benefits? How does it work? How does it serve to reduce harm? How does it serve to create more harm? We need to be really mindful of all the nuances and the complexities, especially as it relates to rural communities. I think that we need to understand right now, the Ontario Sex Offender Registry is a database that provides information to police services throughout the province. And it's hosted by the general headquarters of the OPP. It serves a purpose. The purpose is that the government has established this so that we have a list of repeat serious offenders. Their personal information is on this site, and on a daily basis, information can be extracted to ensure that police have access to the information should there be any other issues or concerns. I think that in terms of the IPV registry, I think, again, it just needs to be clear who can access it, how is it set up, what's the value in it, and how will it ultimately reduce harm and keep people safer. And I think that we need to be on that. I think that in our own community, we know there'll be nuances, and we know that we'll have to mitigate some of the risk when it comes to smaller communities where names are known, families are generations of them in communities. So, you know, naming one family would be certainly difficult and could have far-reaching impacts on children in schools, in you know, carrying the name, and so it's about how the information is kept and how it's mitigated. And certainly we don't want there to be more escalated violence as a result of somebody getting information about an offender living in their community, right? We want to make sure that the information provides the capacity for the services that are in place to ensure the wellness and the safety in our communities. We don't want it to create a battlefield for other people trying to address and mitigate those issues on their own.
Yeah, especially when you're dealing with a topic like this. We know that other names and other crimes, I've seen it many times over my career, they get out there. And oftentimes you will have sympathy for the rest of the family. This can be very touchy in some cases for some people. Guilt by association can sort of take over. And this is something that, especially as you said, in a rural situation, because it's going to have to be handled differently in small communities than, say, it would in Ottawa. This is definitely something that they need to take a very, very close look at and get people like you and other stakeholders involved to find the best way to do it.
I agree with you 100%. And I really feel like, you know, when we started doing the recommendations, if we look at recommendations kind of 4 and 5 back in our history, it really is about taking a team approach, right? It's really about looking at the implementation and the oversight that we could coordinate in our province to make sure that these recommendations are unpacked, right? We need to unpack the recommendations. And I think that that's where we're at now, right? Is that, you know, there's a lot of momentum and people understand, okay, here's a recommendation. I know that what the province is saying is not adequate, but what are the nuances? What could make it better? And I think we have to start unpacking those things. And I really am hopeful that the government will reconsider kind of the implementation process and the oversight, which could really help because so many stakeholders, so many voices would be engaged in that process, including all levels of government, so that we can make sure that the pieces that we're putting in place really do speak to the realities of women's lived experiences with IPV and all the nuances in several communities where there's increased risk that can come if we're not careful.
Like so many of these other recommendations, it needs to be a group effort and it needs to be something that can evolve.
I absolutely agree.
Perfect. Aaron, thank you so much for this. We will speak to you again next week with another one of the recommendations.
Thanks so much.
I'm Bob Perot. Thanks for listening to Lake 88 and Lanark Leads Today.ca.